We have a choice. We can sit back and just let life pass us by, or we can face the things that are trying to oppose our destiny and just exist. Or we can persist and we can be the person that God is wanting us to be, calling us to be. And I learned early on, I'm not going to sit on the sideline.
Welcome to the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast. I really hope this episode helps you learn and master the skills you need to grow your leadership effectiveness and enjoyment. Be sure to hit the subscribe button to get notified as soon as I post a new session so you don't miss a single episode. I'd also greatly appreciate any reviews, likes, and shares that you can give me. It just helps me extend my reach to more people. So leaders, I know just how frustrating it can feel when you're in the weeds of work or ministry and life is chaotic, you're struggling to feel effective, and you're just not enjoying leadership as much as you could be. And so to help you, after many years of leadership and executive coaching, I've developed a framework called the Christian Leader Blueprint that'll guide you to find clarity in your life and leadership. It'll help you gain a better rhythm of life. It'll help you see yourself more clearly, to leverage your strengths, and you'll produce more productive relationships. It's a step-by-step guide to leadership transformation. And I have that in two formats now. I have a free short guide that you can find on ryanfranklin.org, and I have a book, The Christian Leader Blueprint. And you can find that in any format, including an audiobook, wherever you buy your books. I have a few more things on my website that you may be interested in, so just head on over to ryanfranklin.org and check it all out. And now, let's get to our session. So today we have a special guest on the podcast, the one and only Darren Sargent. And I want to start by telling you a little bit about Darren. First of all, he's a motivational force with a unique story. You see, Darren was born with just one hand, and his life is a testament to seeing the world through a lens of possibilities and not just life limitations. And in 2008, Darren launched his motivational business, Let Me Give You a Hand, and has inspired thousands of people across the globe. He's not just an advocate for overcoming life's hurdles. He's actually a living example of it. And in addition to that, he is also the director of UPCI's Ministry Central. He's an evangelist traveling all over the place, preaching the word of God. He's a husband to Duana. He has three children, and it's not going to be long, and he's going to be a grandfather. I don't know what they're going to call
Sir.
He will have his first grandchild.
Yeah.
Darren has authored several books, but he has another one coming out any day now. It's called Battle the Beast, Defeating the Lions That Oppose Your Destiny. And that's exactly what I asked him to come on today to talk about. And so, Darren, I'm going to let you greet the audience, but I also want you to start off just by sharing a little bit about what inspired you to write Battle the Beast.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Ryan, for the opportunity. I appreciate you. You are a leader among leaders. And been following you for a while now. Of course, we've known each other for a few years, but I appreciate everything you're doing. Your recent book is just a hit. And everywhere
Thank
I go,
you.
I talk to those about leadership that want to know more. I said, this is the book. This is the one. So you've kind of set
Thank you
the
for
bar
that.
High when it comes to that. And I appreciate you and your involvement and your contribution to the work of God. I don't know even when it happened. I preach a message. There's a message I preach, and I've preached for probably 2 or 3 years now when I feel it. I think all preachers, we have those unique messages that God gives us that we throw out every once in a while when we're feeling a little prompting. And in this message, I have a small little blurb about one of David's mighty men who went down into a pit with a lion on a slippery wintry day and defeated something that was under the surface. And I woke up in July of last year, just one early morning, and I'm an early riser, and I was just in my time of devotion. And I felt like the Lord just prompted me about diving a little deeper into the story of David and his relationship with Saul and his relationship with his mighty men Now, Mark Batterson wrote a book that we all know, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. But yeah. He never dealt with the fact that Benaiah understood, if I don't take care of this now, while it's beneath the surface where no one can see it, it yeah. may come up one day and destroy me or my family or someone walking mm-hmm. down this path. So he deals with this beast under the surface in order to keep someone from being destroyed later on. And so I began to kind of work on it, and over the 2 or 3 month span, it just kind of flowed out of me. And the purpose behind it is basically, you know, I'll say this probably a couple times in this interview, we can only fix what we're willing to face. And that's I think true. So many times when it's under the surface in our lives, where no one can see it, and we may be the only ones that are aware of it. Well, we know God's aware of it, but we don't deal with some of those things. And so this book is an attempt to help people recognize that there are things that may be hidden in us that want to destroy us, and we've got to take care of them while we can, even while it's beneath the surface.
Yeah.
Kind of the gist of it.
And that sounds phenomenal. So just kind of diving into your life a little bit, and this is not even one of the questions I even prepared for you, yeah. but just kind of diving into your life, tell me how that relates to your struggles, and even just go into that a little bit.
Well, you've already mentioned I was born with what I consider to be the greatest gift that I could have been given. I was born with one hand. It has some challenges. Like, you're not going to see me do sign language. You'd only get half the message. But I have lived with what many people consider to be limiting, or what many people consider to be a disadvantage, which I feel is probably my greatest advantage. But it has also forced me to deal with the insecurities that come with what many call a disability. I don't call my condition a disability. It's really an ability. I've had people try to pray for my arm, try to get it to grow. And I'm like, stop, you're going to wreck my ministry. You know, nobody wants a two-handed preacher. And so I just have come to this understanding that there were things in me that yeah. even though God was, I have incredible parents. My parents are, I owe so much to them. I'm the firstborn of three boys. And they just, before Nike ever said, just do it, that was the motto for Darren Sarge. My dad would not, I mean, he did not lend me a hand. He was like, you're going after it, son. And so I've raised with that. But I noticed as I began into my teenage years and into my 20s, some of these challenges that mm-hmm. were surfacing from maybe insecurity, maybe not fully understanding why I was born the way I was. And one day, it's a long story with my first grade and my fourth grade teacher. I won't even get into that unless we go there. But my dad introduced me when I was in the first grade. My dad introduced me to a scripture, Psalm 139, verse 14. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yeah. as I progressed in my understanding, I began to recognize all of us, none of us were born average. We are all born with promise and potential, but we allow things to hinder us from the cradle mm-hmm. to the grave. There are things that come into our lives. And I've lived by a very simple statement, Ryan, you'll never make an impact unless you're committed to the collision. And usually the first collision that wow. has to happen is right here. Before I can affect you, I got to deal with me. And I think sometimes yeah. we flip that and kind of use that as, well, I'm more effective reaching people, but we got glaring insecurities or glaring issues.
Well, that's what, I mean, obviously you're born without one of your hands.
Sure.
But a lot of people are born with various deficiencies. I mean, sure. you know, I just sure. look at a person's personality. You yeah. know, I can go through a person's personality and I can show you your strengths, but I can mm-hmm. also show you your weaknesses. And I think it's important to know our weaknesses, but I think our insecurities come out of those weaknesses, sure. those sure. struggles in life. And what I'm hearing you say I guess you didn't say this, but what I'm hearing in the midst of that is it doesn't matter what your struggle is. We're going to have those emotional deficiencies, those emotional, struggles within our character. And that's really, no matter what the root of the struggle is, we've got to overcome those insecurities.
Well, and I think so many things, life throws at us that, like you mentioned, I've been privileged to speak now probably close to 1 million students, young adults in the last 35 plus years of ministry. And wow. I'm only 30. so I don't know how that happened, but,
You're a little more gray than I am, and I'm in my 40s.
Careful now. And what I recognized is, you may be sitting there in that crowd. And I see this a lot when I go into high schools and youth functions. They may not have something that's blaring that shows that they have a disability or a handicap, but they're dealing with something. There's an inner struggle and an inner war going on that we have got to attack, because God's called us to effectiveness. God's called us to impact the lives of this generation. That's our calling. If you're a child of God, if you're a leader in the kingdom of God, God has called you to make a difference. We were not brought into this world just to sit on the sidelines. Okay. Now, I played basketball in junior high. Okay. I thought I'd try out basketball. I can shoot outside perimeter. I was deadly, but everybody knew which direction I was going to dribble. He's going right. And so my coach would set me down and I'd be on the sidelines till we got about 20 or 30 points into the game. Come on, Sarge, it's time for you to go. And they would always trap me in that corner. But we have a choice. We can sit back and just let life pass us by, or we can face the things that are trying to oppose our destiny and just exist. Or we can persist and we can be the person that God is wanting us to be, calling us to be. And I learned early on, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. I'm not going to sit when I can serve. I'm not going to just roll over when God can do something with my life. Have there been challenges? Oh, yeah. But I thank God for every challenge, because it's strengthened. Yeah. It's helped me understand that, truly greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So,
yeah. I'm of the belief that we were all designed to do something. Absolutely. Lord designed me specifically to do something, you specifically to do something. Yep. But it's like we all also have these lions that we're having to face in our journey. Sure. Could you talk about maybe some of the more common lions that you see people facing as they're journeying through their trying to do what the Lord designed him to do?
Sure. I think the very first one, and I write about it in the book, the very first one that I think we all have to face is the lion of fear. Fear seems to be the foundational, predominant spirit that wants to capture all of us and just lock us in its jaws.
No
and
doubt.
Keep us from coming out and being what God's called us to be. So I deal with fear, and in it, I use
fear. And people will argue on that.
Exactly.
They'll think, I'm not fearful. Darren, I'm not fearful.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is a lot of times, I know everyone is fearful, but a lot of times, even the ones that are saying that they're not, they're the most fearful.
Well, the thing is, fear is a spirit.
Yeah.
And God's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And so fear, I kind of break it down. And I use it in an acronym. I think that's the right linguistic term or language term. You can face everything and run, mm-hmm. or you can face everything and rise. It's your choice. And so with the condition that I was born with the challenges that I faced, I decided early on that I was going to face everything and rise. You tell me it can't be done, I will do everything in my power to prove to you that it can be done. I took up golf in my early 20s because everyone said it's impossible with one hand. And now all my friends that told me it was impossible, if they beat me, they're not telling nobody. But I beat them, I tell everybody. And I beat them most of the time because I decided fear is not going to be my captor. It's not going to limit me. I'm not going to be bound by it. I'm going to use it to rise above. It pushes you. I think fear, we want to get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. Turn it.
I want to hear some other lines, but this fear thing is a big thing. So let's talk about it through the lens of fear of failure. I find that even sneaks up on people. People don't even realize that they have that they're dealing with that, but yet it's a huge thing. How have you, in your life, how have you overcome that fear of failure in your life?
Well, first of all, failure is never final. We've heard that. We've heard that all our lives. Failure is never final. For me, each failure in my life, I have done a couple of things. Number one, I've asked God to help me overcome it and get through it and forgive me for whatever it was or whatever. But I've also asked him to teach me what I need to learn from this failure. So many times we feel regret for our failure, but we don't learn the lesson of the failure. We just want to quickly put it someplace. Thank God it goes under the blood. Thank God God forgives. But we need to take the principles of that failure and use them to lift us up above. Because if we don't, Paul said, forget those things that are behind and press. You've got to be moving. But you've got to take those building blocks of failure and use them, and we've heard this too, as stepping stones to something better and something greater and something, you know, I don't want my failure to be repeated. I want to learn from failure so that I can look back and say, you know what? You have no hold over me anymore. But boy, I picked up some morsels from that failure that has sustained me in moving forward. And I think it's so vital for us to focus in what is the lesson of the failure.
Yeah.
What's the lesson of the issue?
And so even knowing, even processing through that lens of knowing that there is a lesson if we do fail, maybe could even alleviate a little bit of that fear of failure.
Absolutely.
That's not final. That's not our final destiny.
It's not where God intends for us to live. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I am going to arise and I'm going to do something with it. And the benefit of learning from failure is that you're helping others. Mm-hmm. You're helping others overcome what they may have to face. And that's the beauty. There's so many principles and nuggets that we can pick up that aren't just for us to hoard in our little bag and like we got little trinkets and we got all this. No, it's to help other people. And that's what we're here for. That's my motto for life is I want to take the disadvantages that I've been handed and turn them into advantages for others.
That's good. So what's some other common lions that people face?
I deal with several different lions. I have a whole chapter on the lions of self. And there are so many self lions. We could go through all of them, but I'll leave it at that. It's almost like it's, you know, a lion, their grouping is called a pride. And so I kind of tie that in the lions of self, the lions of self righteousness. I deal with that. That one may get me in trouble, but it's a good chapter, has some good nuggets there. I deal with the lion of apathy because I think so many times.
Oh, that's a good one.
With challenges, we roll over more than we stand up. And I've watched good people, gifted, talented, but the minute a struggle comes, a minute something happens, they just kind of roll over. And there are five principles basically that I talk about and how to combat that. And but you'll have to buy the book to get that.
So I want to dig into that just a little bit because that's a powerful concept of apathy. So are you saying that sort of, when they hit a roadblock in the road, it just sort of stalls them out. Like they might as well just pull over on the side of the road and stall.
Give up.
Yeah.
Being born the way that I was has put me in contact with a lot of people that have physical challenges. And it's one of the things that I've noticed, but I've also noticed it a lot in young people and young adults. Apathetic living is basically pathetic living. It's just rolling over and just saying, you know what? It's easier to just sit down than it is to stand up and constantly be bombarded by the challenges that life brings us.
So if somebody's struggling with that, Darren, what is going to motivate them to get back on the road and cross through that struggle?
I think the first thing for me is you've got to act on the fact that you are in the clutches of apathy. Recognition, understanding is always the first key to overcoming.
That's
good. We have to recognize it. You'll never know some things unless you're willing to grow through them. And so first thing is action. You have to act on it. You have to recognize. I'm just going to share a little vulnerability here. I have a list of daily affirmations that when I'm in prayer are things that I say. I say them because I know I'm going to face a challenge and the enemy or whatever's going to tell me, just don't worry about it. And some of those are, you've got to press through. God is greater in you than he that is in this world. And so you have to act, but action should always lead us to purpose. And a lot of people that I am privileged to speak to talk to, they don't recognize their purpose. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is to get us to recognize that God has a plan. God has a purpose for where we are in our journey. And so you've got to pursue purpose. And when you pursue purpose, it will always develop into passion.
Yeah. Have you found that when people have not grabbed hold of their purpose, and when I say purpose, I mean understanding their gifts and understanding their calling.
Yeah.
When they have not grabbed a hold of those two things, it's hard to get motivated to get through hard stuff, isn't it?
It's very difficult because you don't have a reason.
Yeah.
And I think all of us need to discover, you said it earlier, all of us are gifted with some calling, something that God wants us to do. Ryan, you're able to reach people that I'll never reach. You're able to speak into people's lives with your giftings and your talents, and you've discovered your purpose. It's put a passion in you to get the voice out, to get the word out, to get the message out. And when we don't discover that, when we don't understand our identity in Christ, don't understand why he died for us, you know, it's not just to forgive us of our sins. That's great and wonderful. And I'm thankful for that. But he put within us this calling, this purpose. And when that's never discovered or that's pushed away because it may be too challenging to accept it, the passion is gone. And you live in this apathetic realm of just existing, just going through the motions. You're affected by everything around you. I don't want to just be affected by things around. I want to affect things around me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one that's always affected. I want to, you know, I live by a statement, you know, circumstances do not define us. We define our circumstances. This did not define me. I defined it. I chose to say, you know what? This is not going to keep me. And so I think when you pursue that purpose, it results in that passion that causes you to rise up and make the difference that God's called you to make.
Yeah. And that starts with, I just want to go back to what you started that whole little segment on, understanding your inner struggles, understanding what your arm, not having an arm, did to you inside. Not externally, but your internal struggles. And that sort of helped you rise above and move into what was possible for you versus what was impossible for you.
Now, I'm going to step out here on a very precarious plank. So you can reach me at, if you need, don't bother Ryan with this. You can come to me. We view people, and this is an issue that I've had to overcome. We view people that are different than us as being flawed. Many people, and I love people of faith. I never want to discourage somebody of faith. I will let you pray for my arm, but inside I'm saying, Lord, if this is your will, that's fine, but I'm good.
But you're settled.
I'm settled. I know who I am. God doesn't make a mistake. Yeah. And so often we have people that view, you know, get myself in trouble. I don't know how much you want me to go here, Ryan. you know, we're dealing with a lot.
Take your liberty.
We're dealing with a lot of autism in our world right now. Children born with autism. And yeah. I've had more than one person tell me, well, we just got to pray that out of them. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can work miracles. I've seen him work miracles.
Yeah.
I've had people all my life, Ryan, that felt like I'm lacking because I do not have a hand. I'm what God created, and I'm okay with that. And so I think we have to go back to that inner struggle. I had to find my purpose, and I had to find my identity, and I had to recognize something. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake with me. I'm okay. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Thank you for your kindness and your concern, but this is my gift. And so when we get settled, that was the right word to use, Ryan. When we get settled in our understanding of who we are, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because
that's powerful.
I know who God called me to be, and I am not going to let your opinion. I'm not going to let your outlook on the fact that, oh, poor, I have people that feel so sorry for me. Don't. Let's get out on the golf course. I'll show you how sorry you will be.
Well, I don't play golf, so we're good there.
Yeah. The new thing is pickleball, and I, you know, doesn't take two hands to play pickleball, but I've got a bad knee right now, so I can't play, but I'm going to pick it up one of these days.
Well, when your knee gets better, we'll play a game of racquetball. How about that?
I grew up playing racquetball. That's my sport. That's my sport. And yeah, I've got to get my knee fixed. So then we'll play.
So before we continue on with the podcast, this episode is brought to you by Christian Leader Community Coaching. Are you a Christian leader who is overwhelmed by the complexity of trying to figure out how to grow your team? I want to introduce to you our Christian Leader Community Coaching Program. We have an easy-to-use online platform that has a full archive of courses, supportive community, live group coaching, and elements that are customizable specifically for your team. And I've personally seen the quick and enormous impact that it can have on a team of leaders who are focused together on learning and mastering the skills needed to grow their leadership effectiveness and enjoyment. And we want to be a part of that with you. We want to help you create and implement a plan. The community is very much affordable, but I would say that you can't afford not to have focused growth within your team. Your results heavily depend on it. So don't wait any longer. Let's do this together. Go to RyanFranklin.org and join Christian Leader Community Coaching today. I look forward to seeing you and your team inside the community. And now, back to our podcast.
So I know that there is there's other lions, but we're going to keep moving for sake of time. I want to ask you, relationships are vital in our life. And
yeah.
I'd love for you to talk about the role of relationships, like David with Saul and Samuel, but talk about the role of relationships in navigating and overcoming those challenges.
Absolutely. I believe, and I have certain life statements that I write down in every journal I have and in a lot of my Bibles. And one of them is this: life moves at the speed of relationships. And I think when you look at the relationship that David had with Saul, Saul was an insecure leader. Saul couldn't get his mess figured out. and it cost him.
Yeah.
Always, we need to always be careful of those leaders that keep a javelin close at hand, that want to throw it at somebody who is equipped and called. Insecure leaders will live with javelins next to them. They'll live with spears next to them. And what I've noticed in the life of David, David had a security about him that Saul did not have. And that security was developed in the field when he is facing the lion and he is facing the bear. Think about it. I mean, everyone around David did not think he was worth anything. The prophet comes to have a special sacrifice because God tells him to go to the house of Jesse, anoint one of his sons. And we know the story. He sees the firstborn. It's like, oh, that's the one. Look at that, man. He's buff like Ryan Franklin. I mean, look at that guy. He's unbelievable. This has got to be him. And God says, don't look on the outward man. I don't see the outward. I see the inward man. I see the strength that's inside. He goes down the whole line. And no doubt Samuel was a little frustrated, like, okay, I've none of them. Did I miss the turn? Is there another Jesse family in this area? Did I miss it? And so he asked, is there another son? Oh, well, yeah, but he just tends sheep. Dismissed, forgotten, overlooked. David is living under these stigmas. We see it again after he's anointed and he goes to bring, you know, bread and cheese to his brothers on the battlefield. He starts asking questions. What kind of money, what kind of perks am I going to get if I take down this giant? And his brother pulls him aside and says, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You're nothing but a pipsqueak. What did you do? Check out the verse. What did you do with those few sheep you left back at daddy's house? It's just this constant. They're just berating him. And finally, we know the story. He's standing before Saul. Saul's trying to put armor on him. Well, you're not equipped. And he's like, you know, you don't understand. My God helped me. I conquered a lion and a bear for this moment. And this is the point of what I'm trying to drive home. Some things that we conquer now, you've got to deal with some things in your 20s so they don't destroy you in your 30s. You got to deal with some things in your 40s so they don't come and destroy your marriage and your family in your 50s and 60s. We want to keep pushing things off and throwing it under the rug and doing all this. And God's saying, let me give you an example of David. David took care of some things. And when Goliath fell, I mean, it was just like, oh, okay, somebody has conquered some inner struggles to get to this place. And from that, we see it like a meteoric rise for David, but it drives Saul nuts. It just eats at him because he cannot handle someone who is so secure in himself. Saul had insecurity problems from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, his calling was all about insecurity. Yeah. I mean, he's hiding and Samuel's like, God, why in the world did you let the people pick this one? But finally, God found a man that was after his own heart. And was David perfect? No. Did he have failures? Yeah. No. But he picked up, like we talked about, and he became better because of it. And that's the push and the impetus of this book is to understand that we are called to do things, but we better deal with some things. I can only correct what I'm willing to confront. And when we don't confront it, it's going to come back at some point. If you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, you got to deal with your stuff.
Would you say that not everything, but the majority of our stuff comes in the midst of relationships, like our ability to interact relationally with people around us?
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's some people that are going to be not for us. And, you know, we need to be polite to them and brotherly and Christian to them.
Absolutely.
However, there's others in our life that are going to be for us and really provide the things in our life necessary to move through those challenges in life. Would you agree?
Absolutely. My wife has a, you know, we pastored for several years in a couple different churches, and my wife called those challenging people grace builders. They're there in our lives to the friction.
Friction. That's a great name for them.
Yeah, grace builders. My wife, you know, she said God allows them. They're in our life. They're there for a reason. And
you know, those same people at times, because they're grace builders, can also provide truth to us. Truth and grace.
It reveals things in our nature. My wife and I are privileged right now. We're doing a lot of marriage conferences, and one of the things that I bring out is God uses your spouse to develop your character. Because God's intent for our marriages is not to make us happy. We think we want a happy marriage. His intent is to make us holy. So he puts your spouse in your life sometimes to kind of be that grace builder that says, you know what, we want comfort. God's role in our life and using other people is not to make us comfortable. He's trying to develop character. He's trying to shape us, and relationships are so key. And so when I dive into the relationship in this book with Saul, I also dive into the relationship with David and his role with those mighty men. They came to him. The scripture says they were distressed, discontented, in debt. They're misfits from society. They're all messed up. They have no family support. They're just a mess. But something happens in their relationship with David that developed them into men that would take on 600 men at one time. I mean, for a guy who'll go down into a pit and defeat a lion to the same guy who'll take on two lion-like men of Moab. I don't even know what that means, but they had to be ugly. I mean, he takes an Egyptian, takes the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. That didn't happen overnight. That was the development of a relationship with a man who was secure in who he was and what God had called him to do.
Yeah. I love that. Well,
yes, sir.
I'm a practical guy. I love practical strategies, steps. Why don't you give us some practical strategies or tools, even that you may talk about in the book, or even maybe something beyond the book, but that would help people overcome their personal lions and actually strive to pursue their God-given destiny?
The first thing I would say is never be afraid to stretch. The enemy wants us to remain in our comfort zones because our comfort zone is a domain where we're not effective. Never.
But stretching hurts, though.
It hurts. I bent over for something the other day and my hamstring stretched and I was like, oh dear God, that hasn't been stretched in a while. I need to work on that. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant, but we never should be afraid to stretch because God seems to meet us on the other side of our comfort. I don't even know how to put that and articulate the way that I feel it right now, but God always meets us on the other side of our comfort zone. And so I think we have to stretch, and we've got to be willing to allow others into our lives that will help us get there. Let me give you
That's a big one.
David has committed sin. He's slept with Bathsheba. He's killed Uriah. He's a year into this journey, close to it. And, Nathan, the prophet, shows up and he tells him a parable, talks about this lamb that someone stole. And David's irate. I'm going to take care of that. And Nathan looked at him, stuck his finger in his face, said, "You're the man, David. You better have someone in your life that can put their finger in your face and say, it's you."
Yeah.
David allowed that man. I know he was a prophet. I know he was a great man, but David gave him access to his life. We all need people to help us because sometimes I don't see the issues in my heart. Sometimes friends see things different than I see them. And I need someone
to say,
"Hey, dude, you're walking down. Or that's not the way to look at it. That's not the direction to go. That's not what to say.
Yeah.
I have to be willing to accept that and say, you know, you're right. And David did. David had a heart and he accepted. And in Psalm 51, he's like, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew in me a right spirit. Don't take your spirit from me. And though the baby was lost and did not make it in birth, David picked himself up. You see this even when before he's ever on the throne. You see it in Ziklag when everything's stolen and everything's burned, how he reacts. The men were picking up stones. These men that he developed were picking up stones to stone him. But the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord and he led. And I think so often we need those people around us that'll say, nope, 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 nope. Not only God, but others.
So true. So true. I was on a call just before you and I jumped on this interview, meeting with one of my support team members. I've got a team of people around me that I would consider my support team members. And I was unpacking something that was a little challenging for me. And he identified something that I never saw in the mix of it. He provides lots of grace. He provides lots of grace for me, but he provided truth in that moment that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And that's life changing, Darren. That is just life changing for me.
And are allowing those type of people. I don't want to surround my life with people that just tell me, yes, and you're fine and you're good.
Exactly.
I want people to say, you know, your attitude stinks, Sergeant.
Yeah.
You need to change your perspective. I want that type of relationships, and I've done the same. I've built friendships into my life that they have complete access. They can ask me any question. I've given them questions. They've created questions that they can ask about different times of my life, and I've told them, when you feel it, ask. I could lie.
Absolutely.
But I'm not going to get any better. So I want that. I want people. I want God's spirit to be that prodding thing that keeps. I grew up on a farm in Idaho, and man, we take those cows and move them around and prod them. And, you know, prodding is not comfortable, but boy, it gives direction. And I want that. I want that from God. I want it from you.
Absolutely. So you may have already answered this question, but just to reiterate it, or you may have some additional advice.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give? You've got somebody that's listening to this podcast right now that feels completely overwhelmed by the obstacles in their path. That's, they feel the Lord's leading them down this path.
Sure.
They feel they have a roadblock that is just enormous and they can't get through it. What advice would you give that person moment?
I'd go back to what we just talked about. Never face a struggle alone.
Yeah.
Bring someone into your corner. Someone that believes in you, someone that will speak truth to you, not just give you what you want to hear. So make sure that's there. Of course, you're going to go to God. You're going to go to God and ask him to help you navigate this. But use the word of God. There are so many examples in God's word where God led people in the midst of struggle.
So true.
And recognize that it's not the end. Just because you're facing a roadblock, it's not the end. In fact, probably is just the beginning to something that's going to be absolutely amazing in your life. I had to face some of my challenges. I had to overcome the fear of being misunderstood. I had to overcome the fear of, okay, I'm not going to be able to do it as good as somebody else. But God didn't call me to do it as good as somebody else. God called me to do it the way he created me and crafted me. And I've got to take confidence in his calling in my life. I've got to take confidence that he has called me. He that hath begun a good work will complete it. He will complete it. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He's not just somebody to set you out on a boat and you're just, you know, floating out and all the elements and all the storm and all the waves are during. No, he's got a plan. And you have to rest in that and don't ever give up. You know how many times I've felt like, oh, this isn't worth it. It's too difficult. Don't give up. Just keep pressing. Keep pushing.
Yeah.
Keep moving. I have a statement that another life statement, attitude determines direction, and direction is more important than speed. I've had to learn to adjust my attitude.
So true.
And it doesn't matter how fast or slow. The race is not given to the swift. It's given to the one that endures. And if your attitude is set,
that's powerful.
You'll eventually get there. It may take you longer. It may take me longer than Ryan Franklin to figure some things out in my life. But if my attitude's right, I'm going to get there. And attitude has, in my opinion, one of the biggest things, and maybe this will be my final point. I don't know, but my biggest thing is attitude. I could have looked at my challenge as, you know what? Can't do nothing. You're shorthanded. You know, you can't shuffle a deck of cards, can't pick your nose and talk on the cell phone at the same time, you know, whatever. Can't join the swim team. You swim in circles. You know, I could have had all, I've got a list of them. We could be here for another 30 minutes, Ryan. I got a list. I could have, but my attitude says, why not?
Yeah.
Why not try it? Was it Robert F. Kennedy said, some people look at challenges and say they can't. I look at challenges and say I can, or so I'm butchering it, but Robert F. Kennedy had a great quote about, you know, overcoming those things. Why not? Why not try it? Why not go for it? Amen.
Well, Darren, this has been a fantastic conversation, and I just want to thank you so much for giving us your time today. If people want to connect with you in some way, I want you to tell us that, and then also you got a book coming out, Battle the Beast. Sounds like it's going to be a phenomenal book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. But where can people find you online, and then where can they pre-purchase this book?
Sure. It's we're still in the process of the final edits and layout. In fact, I've got someone who's been reaching out to me while we've been on this interview, wanting to talk to me about some of the final layout edits. So we're looking at the end of March, 1st of April, when it'll be released. It'll be released on Amazon as well as Pentecostal Publishing House. You'll go there, but you can follow me. I'll be launching, you know, before that, talking about where you can get it on Instagram at Darren Sargent. You can follow me there, Facebook, of course. And, those two places will probably the social accounts that I will use to. I haven't got into TikTok that much yet. You know, I haven't got my TikTok dance yet down yet. So probably not going to go there, but Instagram and Facebook will be the primary things. Or you can go to DarrenSargent.com. We'll have it available there as well.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'll put those links in the show notes, links to your social media and your website.
I appreciate it.
So again, Darren, thank you so much for being here.
Ryan, thank you. I so enjoyed this. Appreciate you much.
So this concludes our show today. My name is Ryan Franklin. Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast.